Continuing on with our series on discipleship. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you gave us Jesus. He lived that perfect life. And he died for our sins on the cross, and he rose again so that we can have a new life and the power to live the kind of life that you want us to live, Lord. Lord, we just would pray today as we look at what it is to be a disciple, that we'll be able to measure ourselves up against that and see if we really do, for one thing, know what it is to be a disciple, and for another, to know whether we ourselves are disciples. Lord, we just would pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, yes, as I said, we're continuing on with the call to discipleship. And what is a disciple? Now, a lot of people have ideas of what a disciple is, and I think sometimes we get it wrong. This series, I'm expecting it actually to revolutionize our lives, but of course that depends on how we respond to what God's word says. So one thing I'd like people to do is to memorize scripture as we go through, because God's word has a way of getting into our hearts and changing our lives. And his Holy Spirit then can then take that and apply that at the times when we need it the most. This series that I'm doing, I make no apology for the fact that I'm heavily depending or using a series by a man named Ian Malins. Yes, we'll see how that goes. We're heavily depending on this. It's all happening this morning, isn't it? Heavily depending on this series by Ian Malins, which I have gone through a number of times and have really, with others, and it has really, we've seen a lot of changes in people's lives. As I said, I'd like us to memorize scripture. So if we could memorize this one, the one that, this is what Hannah read out this morning, and it's Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. And that's the one that says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And it goes on from there. Now, the memory, to memorize things, I have for the last 5 years at least been using a memory app, which is that symbol that you see up on the board. So if you do use a smartphone, this app is just so good because it does all the work for you. You get your verse, so you search the verse, you choose your verse, and then you then it will revise those verses. It brings it back around to where you need to have it to be able to revise those verses. And I've chosen to revise my verses once a fortnight because my memory can't handle any longer time than that. But you might have a better memory, you might have a worse memory. But why people say, "Oh, I can't remember anything," well, sorry, you're just being a wuss. sorry? I mean, you're being a wuss if you can't remember anything. is the reason people don't memorize verses is because they don't revise their verses. It's as simple as that. Okay, and you might have to revise them more than some other people. But if God's word is that important to you, you know, we make a big deal about this is God's word and all that. Well, if it really is, why don't we take more interest in it? Okay, that's my sermon within the sermon. Right. So, we looked at, I'm just going to do a fast revision. We looked, first of all, at the call to discipleship and responding to Jesus' call. And we saw that there are three calls of Jesus. There's the first call that we have in front of us today also is when Jesus said to his disciples to come to me. That is that initial call when we respond to his call to come to him and receive him into our lives. And then he gave the call to follow me to his disciples. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And then in Matthew 28:19, he says, it's multiply me. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. And so there he's telling his disciples that they are to make disciples who make disciples. In other words, to multiply him. And then the next one in the series we looked at was the call to discipleship once again, but we use the model of unofficial chaplaincy to try and explain how our lifestyle would be affected if we were to live this kind of life of discipleship. Jesus commanded us to be salt and light in this world. And how are we to do that? And for some of us, it can be a bit of a mystery. Well, how do we really do that? Well, we looked at this idea of unofficial chaplaincy, which gives us a handle on which to hold on to as to how we could put this into practice. First of all, we looked at the fact that we are commissioned to go make disciples. We saw that before, where Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples. We looked at the fact that discipleship and discipling is a holistic thing. It's about meeting people where their needs are, their mind, body, soul, spirit. We looked at that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are Christ's representatives here on this earth. But we must be also prepared to share this hope that we have. And I was listening last night as I was getting tea ready. I often listen to YouTube clips, and there was one by a bloke who many of you would know of. His name is Ravi Zacharias. Now, people think, well, this man is a very smart man. It's amazing how anyone can throw a question from the audience and he is prepared to answer it. So last night he had a very difficult question, and straight away, off the top of his head, he was able to just quote a long spiel of scripture that suited perfectly the answer to that question. Now, part of why he is so good at answering questions is, once again, because he knows scripture, which actually is not out of reach for anyone sitting here today. We could all be knowing scripture and be prepared to share the hope that is within us. And we do this because we really do love people. We are following the Father's example, who so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And so we love people and we want to see the best for them. And people will respond to us when they know we truly love them. But we need to also anticipate antagonism. The message we speak is often offensive. Well, it is. It's not often offensive. It's always offensive. We're telling people that they are not okay the way they are, that they need Jesus, that we are all sinners who need reconciling to God. And so that is an offensive message. So we must expect antagonism when we talk to people about that. In doing so, we need to be intercessory prayers. We need to pray for the people we are working with, we are living with, our relatives, whoever it is, who doesn't know Christ, who don't know Christ, we need to be praying for them. And we need to nudge them in the right direction. And this holy nudge is the kind of thing that gets people thinking about God. It doesn't have to be the four spiritual laws all laid out. It can be just a simple, well, oh, okay, I never thought about that. And I think I have used this example a few times, but I'll use it again. When I was in a chaplain at Cedar Creek State School, there was two fellas who were staff members, and they had both told me they were atheists. And there'd been a flood that had knocked out part of the road into the school, and here they were sitting in the library, and I happened to be in the library, and they were discussing the fact that they couldn't do anything about the flood. It was just an act of God. And so I couldn't let that one go. So I said, oh, this is very interesting. Two atheists talking about an act of God. Now, we didn't get much of a conversation going from that, but it got them thinking, though. And so I was able to have ongoing conversations with them. People try and use humour with us, and they have a go at us about being Christians. It doesn't hurt to throw it back at them sometimes as well. But if you do it in the right tone and the right manner, it comes across quite well. So let's get on to today. What are we going to talk about today? What is a disciple? Tell me if I haven't got the right slide up. I can see part of this, but I can't see. I can only just see that it's flicked slides. I can't see what I've actually got here. A disciple is one who has answered Christ's call. So first of all, in that Matthew 11:28, it says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so a disciple is one who has answered Christ's call. Discipleship doesn't start with your desire or decision to follow Jesus. Now that might be a revelation for some of you here today. And we sung that song before about draw me close to you. Was it draw me close to you? And we think that, and there's that verse that says, if you draw near to me and I will draw near to you. But the Bible teaches us actually that it is God who does the original drawing in the first place. We have no inner ability ourselves to respond, because we are totally depraved. We are unable to respond to this God of love. So it's His Holy Spirit who has to enliven and enable us to actually respond to His call to begin with. In John 6:44, it says, Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." And that's pretty plain. It's Jesus who does the drawing to start with. Only Christ's call and working of His Spirit in your life can give you the power to become God's child. John 1:12 says, "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right," or that could be translated, "the power or the authority to become children of God." So this is an inner working. It's not something that, it's not like a person, and we get quite a few of these days, who'll come out and say, "Well, I've decided to become a Muslim." And so then they will start reading the Quran, and they'll go along and do the prayers on Friday and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, they become a Muslim. Christianity isn't like that. This is a spiritual rebirth, a spiritual renewal. A person only becomes a Christian when they receive Jesus into their life, and when they receive Jesus, they receive His Spirit. They receive the Holy Spirit within them, and He changes them. We are not just buying into some kind of idealism or some sort of religion. This is a relationship, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a living relationship with the Holy Spirit within us. So it's very distinct from any other religion. John chapter 15, verse 16 says, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." So you notice that Jesus is the one directing this whole process. It's him that's in control and not us. And we can get upset about, sometimes we tell people the gospel and all that sort of stuff and they just don't seem to respond. Well, it's Jesus who saves. It's not us. So don't get discouraged about that. In God's good time, you know, we need to pray for those people. We need to give them the message. But in God's good time, he brings people to know him. Secondly, a disciple is one who has accepted the conditions. He said, "Take my yoke upon you." Jesus made it clear that before you answer his call to discipleship, you must first count the cost. So I'll read Luke chapter 14, verse 25 to 33. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Wow. That's one of those verses in the Bible you want edited out, isn't it? Because that's pretty tough. What does that mean? Well, our love should be so much for God that in comparison to our love to our family, it will seem like hate. There are times as a Christian when God says, "I want you to go and do such and such," that it does inconvenience our family. And this is where a lot of Christians come unstuck, is because they will put family before God. You know, ultimately, it is he who is first. And at times, and this is what, if this is a weakness in your life, this is where Satan will get you. He will use your family at times to draw you away from God, to disobey God. If God has asked, if God has told you to do something, to go a certain place, to talk to a certain person or do something, then that is your first priority. Even if your family, spouse, siblings, sons or daughters or whatever say something different, if God has told you to do something, you will do it. Now, at times to an onlooking world, that will seem like hate, that you hate your family, but no, it isn't. I was just told yesterday of one lady who decided, who some of you would know this lady here, who decided that she would leave her family's religion to follow Christ. And they threw her out of her house. Now, she had a choice. She could have said, "Well, actually, okay, right, seniors feel so strongly about it, I'll give that one up and I'll stick to your way." And she could have stayed in the house, but no, she decided to follow Jesus and got thrown out of the house. Now, to that family at the time, they might have felt that she hated them. But that is the kind of stuff that Jesus is talking about. He wants total commitment, total devotion. Is that the kind of discipleship that we have? He goes on to say, in verse 27, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. I think it's good for us to always go over these calls to discipleship that Jesus gives, at least on an annual basis, because I think sometimes we get a little bit soft and forget the call of commitment, the 100% call that he is asking of us. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Well, this yoke, of course, was this piece of timber that would stretch from one animal to another animal, and they would bear the burden. They would drag whatever it was that they had, whether it was a plow or a cart or something that they would have to pull along. And it's a commitment. They were tied to whatever it was, to the task that they had. They were tied to that task. And for us as Christians, if we take Jesus' yoke upon us, it means that we're surrendering to his control. We're allowing him to be the Lord of our life. We're learning to obey and keep in step with him in everything we do. Now, this yoke is not burdensome, but it does mean that we give up control of our own lives. Thirdly, a disciple is one who is willing to learn. Jesus said, and learn from me. A disciple is a learner. In fact, the word disciple in the Greek actually just means a learner. A disciple is a learner and must have a teachable spirit. Now, people will say the sinner's prayer and they do the thing, they go to church and do all that sort of stuff, but in reality, when they're brought up to a challenge, when they have a demand on them, for instance, to change an attitude or change a way of doing things which God is wanting them to do, that's when the test really comes, whether you are a true disciple or not. Are you willing to change? Are you willing to do those hard things that Jesus wants you to do? Are you willing to learn from him? We often come with our own agenda and say, well, if I'm going to live the Christian life, and we might not really say this, but really when it comes down to it, this is our attitude. If I'm going to live the Christian life, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to live in this place. I'm going to have this job. I'm going to marry this person. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And God, you just bless what I do. As a disciple, we actually don't get to impose our agenda on Jesus. We've taken on that yoke, and we are under his control. And so we are there to learn from him, and whatever it is that he wants to teach us, then we are willing to learn and submit to that. A disciple is one who is becoming like his master. He says, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So as we look at Jesus, we see what kind of person was Jesus? Well, it says that he is gentle and lowly in heart. Think about who Jesus could have portrayed himself as. He could have portrayed himself as who he really was. What does it say in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11? Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but humbled himself and became like a servant. I better just read it. I'm forgetting it. When I'm in front of a congregation, it all just goes out of my head. Philippians chapter 2. Now, I was quoting the first part, but I was thinking this part. Oh, yeah, no, it is verse... Yeah, verse 9. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, this is Jesus, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So Jesus could have... He chose to take the lower form. He, even though he was God, he emptied himself and became and took on the form of a servant. But, and it talks about him in verse 9 that God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name. That's post-resurrection. But Jesus could have done that. He could have exalted himself and said, well, yeah, look at me. But he went around as a lowly servant. He didn't go around as a king, which is what he was. He went around as a lowly servant. He wasn't high on status. He wasn't high on his qualifications. He was who he was and he did what he did. And that is what a Christian should be. Is it's not about our qualifications or anything like that. I remember not so long ago I was, I won't say who this person was, but I was in a group and we were having to do some work in the community. And this person introduced herself to me as, I am such and such a name, PhD. And I thought, well, I don't care if you're a PhD. I could have rattled off a few things myself, but that doesn't impress Jesus. Okay? It's status, qualifications, all that. Are we a disciple? Are we a learner? Are we humbly following the Lord God in our lives? And so, okay, good. I'll talk to her next time I see her. Tony said, okay. Yep. Good. Yes, through the Lord Jesus. A disciple is one who is becoming like his master. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So this is the deal, is that a disciple is one who models, who sees Jesus as their model and they imitate him. And they try to become like their master. And the Holy Spirit is working within them, molding them and remaking them as they have that learner attitude of not thinking, well, I know it all, I can't be taken any further in my life. No, I am humbly willing to accept anything you have to teach me, Lord, because I know it's for my good. I trust in you. And it says that he is transforming us into the same image from one degree of glory to another. And that word transformed, it's only, I think if I remember rightly, it's only about three times in the New Testament. It's the word from which we get the word metamorphosis from. That idea of when a caterpillar changes into a butterfly is metamorphosis. And it's that same image there of being continually changed, metamorphized. Probably not even a word, is it? From one degree of glory to another. And this happens by the power of the Holy Spirit as God works in our lives. Jesus wants to remold your sin-spoiled life into his image. A disciple is one who is experiencing the power. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The demands of discipleship may seem very great, but this is because you don't want to give up control. It is no longer me, but Christ in me, Paul. That Christ who lives in me is what Paul said. A disciple isn't one who imitates his master, but one who is indwelt and empowered by his Spirit. Yes, we imitate the Master, but it's because we are indwelt and empowered by his Spirit. When we live like this, discipleship is a joy and a delight. And so this is where this, I think when it boils down to it, Christianity is like that old song, isn't it? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And so often our pulling back or our pulling on that yoke with Jesus is simply because we don't trust him. We don't trust him that what he wants for us is actually best for us. And so then we don't obey because we don't trust. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 to 5 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" So my question is, are you a disciple of Jesus? Maybe you have always thought that you were a disciple, but today you realize that actually, well, I probably haven't been. You've been living on a borrowed Christianity. So I know the stuff that I've been saying today has been very, I guess very basic really, very fundamental, but it is what discipleship is built on. And if we don't get these fundamentals right, then we get it all wrong. So often I think as Christians we can be fans of Jesus, and Jesus has way too many fans, but not enough followers. And there is a big difference between the two. So a good question is, am I a fan? Am I just a fan, or am I actually a follower? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, may we open ourselves up now to your Holy Spirit to do his work. Help us to evaluate our lives to see whether we are 100% committed to you or not. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.